All right, this is Sunday morning, 4/7/24. The title of this is The Weapons of Our Warfare. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want to emphasize this phrase, mighty through God. What does that mean? Well, mighty means powerful, capable, and possible. It is not powerful, capable, or possible in our flesh. When we walk in the Spirit, it becomes mighty through God. We're not actually fighting our own battle. He never meant for us to fight the battle. But we have an action that we have to do to allow Him to fight the battle. Let me read it again. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So that means there's only a spiritual battle, right? That's the only battle. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So through our God we shall do valiantly. He shall tread down our enemies, right? Not us, not fleshly, rebuking, using the name or whatever. I can't go along with just saying whatever, whenever. It has to be sanctioned by God. Why? Because God has a plan, a battle plan for every single thing that He does. So what is our stance to do? Right here. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our stand is a mental stand. Because that's where the enemy comes at us. That's where we win or we lose, right there. If we can keep our mind right, what happens? We're in sync with God. Then mighty through God will this happen. Mighty through God. Not in our methods. We've been taught in church all kinds of methods. We've read books of the greatest ones, and it worked for them, but it didn't seem to work for us quite like it worked for them. And I, you know, because a lot of it was we were taking something God gave them. That's why, you know, everybody has an experience and writes a book, and everybody and their dog buys the book. And before you know it, they're doing what they're doing. They're just mimicking what they're doing instead of getting it from God Himself. God has a plan for your deliverance. And it's not their plan. It's not Brother Hagin's plan, even though I love Brother Hagin, and he's helped me very much. I can't use Brother Hagin's plan. I have to use God's plan. It's mighty through God, not through Brother Hagin, not through Kenneth Copeland, not through Jerry Savelle, not through anybody. Not your own thinking. It's through God. Now, my emphasis today is going to be on the Lord has a plan, just like Joshua. You get in that plan, and you do exactly what I tell you to do. And then you can see the results that Joshua saw. You can see the results that Brother Hagin had and Brother Copeland has. You can see results when you listen to God for yourself and you hear from Him about that, not what, you know, this book says I ought to do. They're just trying to help people. But the fact is, until we get it for ourselves, we can't really expect the results that we want until we get it for ourselves. keep going. Mighty, powerful, capable, and possible. People, I've learned this everywhere I go. Oh, pray for me. Oh, pray for me. I thought, dear God, why don't you pray for me for a change? I need it. If you knew what I go through every day, you would be praying for me. But I don't say nothing. I just say, okay. And what I do is I say, okay, I pray in the Spirit, and if you come up, I'll pray it through. But if not, I'm not going to waste my time. If I got time to pray, I feel like you got time to pray. All right. That's what I mean. We as faith people have been geared to prayer chains, prayer lines, hotlines, programs on that if you got a need, you know, and sometimes God answers because he knows where the person is. But we ought to know a little bit better. We ought to know a little bit better today. All right. It's through God. What does through God mean? It means by the Spirit and not the flesh. Somebody else's revelation is not Spirit-led for you. It's Spirit-led for them. People don't want to get on their knees and wait. First time I ever experienced this, I was going through something and I'd been using natural means to try to take care of it. It wasn't working. And so I decided one day, I ain't leaving this living room. I told Danny, it was after church. I said, I'm not coming out of here. I'm not stopping until I get an answer today. And at that time, I had health food and I read an hour of health food, and then I prayed in the Spirit an hour, and I read another hour of health food. I prayed in the Spirit an hour, and then the Holy Spirit come up in me and spoke to me about it. And he said, you're going to have to lay all that other stuff you're doing aside. I said, okay, and I just never looked back. But what did I do? I got before God, and I got an answer for myself, and I was determined. I'm not leaving here till I get an answer. I guess it just depends on how bad you want to hear. All right. We as faith people in years past have had our mantras. Is it any different from any other religion? All the other religions do their meditating and their all this crap. What's sad is they don't know any better. This isn't a mantra. This is a living word. This is the time when we need to hear from God for ourselves, a fresh word from God, not someone else's word. Okay. You know, Danny brought up a good point about we've been given the keys of the kingdom, and we'll read about that, Matthew 16:19. But the point is, just like in your house, does one key unlock every lock? No. You have one key for the front door, another key for the garage door, another key for the back door, one key for your car, maybe a key for your safe. It is not one key fits all. All right, let's look at the Matthew 16. I'm telling you, if you listen to me today, I believe I can help us all. Even myself. It's easy to just go around just spewing stuff, but it's not so easy to take the time to get a direct word from God, because you know what? Whenever you get God involved and you get that direct word, what's going to happen? It's going to be mighty through God, and you're going to get your answer. It's going to move a mountain. I've had that happen many times in my life. I have a granddaughter. We wouldn't even know today if I hadn't decided, I can't let my daughter, I cannot cotton to this, Lord. I know you adopted us in, but I said, I can't let my first grandchild be adopted out to somebody. I can't do it. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed about it for 3 weeks. And then one day the Lord said, draw a line. And don't pass over that line. And make your decree. And I said, this father will stop this adoption within 24 hours. You know what happened? The Lord stopped the adoption. We wouldn't even know her today. All right, Matthew 16:19. I'd have a rhema word any day over a written word, a spoken word, or anything else. Not that those are bad, but that's not the ones you can take to the bank and receive from it. You can't. Now, their words can renew our mind and get us to where we need to be, to think right. But as far as when you need a rhema in your life, you got to get it from God. And I will give unto thee. Well, I'll give a few of the leaders that. And you look to them by their books. You know, the keys are in there. No! This is not a manual like with a car. The keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever thou shalt bind on earth, when you find the key, you can bind on earth and it'll be bound in heaven, and you can loose on earth and it'll be loosed in heaven. You, when you get the right key to open or shut, this is the key to the kingdom. Not confession list. Even though we do that, and the Lord's having us do that. But like I said, faith people, we all have our little confessions we make. But you know what? There's only one that you really need to make, and that's the one that God has given you directly. Well, the faith people probably don't like me today, but you know. This is what a key is. A key as in shutting a lock. Well, we want to lock the devil out, I'll tell you that. I'm tired of it myself. I want to lock him out of everything that pertains to me. It's not all one key fits all. Each situation has a key. What? All right, how does it become the Lord's battle? It's when you stay in the spirit, not in the flesh. You want to know why you're so wore out? Take a guess. You're doing it in your flesh. You don't think you are, but you are. Lord had to even correct me. I said, Lord, you're right. I am battling too much in my mind and in my body, and it'll break you down. That's why you feel the way you do. But when it's in the spirit, it's not like that. All right. Isaiah 40. I hope y'all hear me today. Carla Love, I hope you're hearing yourself today. We're all subject to go back to what's easy. This is 40:29. It says here, he giveth power to the faint, and them that have no might, he increases strength. How? Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So I would say to you, when you're confronted with a situation, you would be better to go and say, Lord, according to James 1:5, you said you'd give me wisdom about this situation and that you wouldn't hold it back from me. And so I'm thanking you today that you are giving me wisdom, and I will not say anything and I will not do anything until you tell me what to do. You give me the key to unlock the situation that I'm in. Sound good? It means, you know how powerful your words are? Death and life. That's pretty powerful, right? Pretty powerful. All right. Right here, faint means to tire as in wearisome fight. Are you there? I am. But you know what? If you've noticed over the weeks, the Lord's given us little by little by little, we're starting to change our mind for the better. To quit walking so much in the natural and in the flesh and getting into the spirit. Okay. We do our stuff and we get weary. All God is asking us to do is to wait, get the right key for the lock, and then victory is the result. When God gets involved, there ain't no problem. What's our problem is our flesh gets involved. That's the problem. That's why we go round and round the mountain, round and round the mountain. One more trip around the mountain. Fight to tire as in wearisome fight. All right, let's look at a few scriptures. Luke 18. Verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always, or men ought always to pray and not to faint. Faint right here in this, the New Testament, to be bad or weak, by implication to fail. That's 2 Corinthians 4. I mean, we just read that. That's mighty through God right here. We'll read it again. Now, I guess I'm messed up. Sorry. Just go to 2 Corinthians 4. Let's just start with verse 1 there. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He wants us to get that answer so we can speak just like he spoke in Genesis 1. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it was written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. He shall. Mighty through God. He shall. For all things are yours for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This is about the inner walk. We've been looking at this for weeks. The inner walk. Not a fleshly outside walk. Now, if he tells you to do something, that you do it. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'm looking for the eternal. How about you? Now I want to talk to you just a little bit. Yesterday I listened to a podcast from ex-SEAL Team 6, Navy SEAL, and a structural engineer, and they were talking about the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And by looking at it, they both knew from their experience that it was taken out with thermite. Well, they know it couldn't have been the deep state because the deep state don't have any. But the thing was, it was a white hat operation. And they played the film and they could show you where this thermite glows. And what it does, it liquefies the metal. When you can look at the bridge and see how it collapsed and tell. And then when you have all that dust and debris like with 9/11, that was thermite. It melts steel. But the interesting thing about it is this. It was a white hat operation, they said. And those places where those charges were put, at the top of that bridge, it's way up there. Mm-hmm. Way up there. And this Navy SEAL was talking about, yeah, you know, they're the ones that would do that kind of thing, put the thermite on those. They are the only ones trained in that kind of operation to be able to do something in the middle of the night with no lights, climbing these high structures and setting these charges at precision. Talk about special ops. Special ops. And I thought, Lord, we're special ops. And the thing is, they are trained in areas where another person would be terrified. Terrified. And they do it with not even thinking. They've been trained that way. We're just wanting, Lord, get it off of us. Get it off of us. Get me out of this. Get me out of this. We're not even thinking about, we're being trained as Navy SEALs here. I want you to get what you're going through on the right train of thought instead of the way you've been thinking. Oh, if you just take it off, I can't stand it, it's driving me crazy. Please, Lord, I don't feel like I'm going to make it. No, no, no. He said, well, I've got this tower up here. I need you to climb. I need you to set that charge. See, they're doing human trafficking down here, and what's happened, this bridge, when it goes, it's going to trap all these ships in here, and they're loaded with babies. Can you see where I'm going with this? Oh, boo-hoo! My life is so bad. Is it? No, you've been chosen. You've been chosen for such a time as this, to do what God has called you to do at such a time as this. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry, I've been looking at this wrong. We're in the Lord's army, and he's chosen us for such a time as this, and it's not for everyone. Everybody else is just going to go on their merry way and do their shallow things. But there are some we will call the spiritual elite that God is raising up for these operations that he is about to do in the earth. And he has to know that when you get up on that high bridge and set that charge, you will not faint. You will do it without thinking, even if you're hurting or whatever. Doesn't make any difference. I just thought it was a good analogy because these sound like the people in the Faith Hall of Fame. Did God call the right people? The whole world is saying, get it off of me, get it off of me. I got to have something. I got to have help. And they lash out at God, and they're mad at God, and they scream at God, and blah, 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 blah. How many say, Lord, I don't like this, but I know you got a plan, and I trust your plan, and I look to you. When my eyes don't know what to do, I look to you. What do you want me to do? What can I do for you, Lord? Instead of, Lord, give me this, give me that. She promised it, she promised it. You can go out in the world and hear that all the time. People are mad, mad at God. Well, you know what? God has always been there, and he always will be. But there's a way you come to him, you know? There's a way to do it right, and that's in the spirit, not in the flesh. Okay, Galatians. Six, eight through nine. Maybe I should do seven. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let's do good unto all men, especially them unto them who are of the household of God. We're on a mission from God, and it's for people. It's to help people. And yeah, who likes to go through things? Nobody does. But the thing is, when we get our mind off of ourselves and what we're going through and what the mission is and what God has for us to do, see, that's the goal. Faint means to relax. To relax. See, as soldiers of the Lord, you can't relax as far as you're always vigilant because your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Hebrews 12. May not be what you wanted to hear today. You probably wanted a fuzzy warm. I'm not a fuzzy warmer. I mean, there's times the Lord will give me stuff this good as far as making us feel good about things, and there's nothing wrong with that, I don't guess. But in the hour that we're in, it's crucial that we know we've been chosen for a certain time, for such a time as this, kind of like with Esther. She didn't want to go before the king because she knew if she did and she came in unannounced that he could have her killed. But her uncle said, how can you know, if you don't do what God wants you to do, then he will choose somebody else. But don't think you will escape because you decide not to do it. Because who knows that you have been born for such a time as this? I remember posting that on something. I normally don't post stuff. I think it was one of Phil's videos. I just posted, we're here for such a time as this. And this lady commented, I really like what you had to say. Well, it's the truth. We've been called to such a time as this. God is calling on us and asking us to stand in the gap and to do what He wants us to do in our particular area. All right, Hebrews 12:3. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. You know, He can't ask you to do what He's called you to do without your training, you know. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? You know, you see these little kids that have no chastening. They're just little wild Indians running around. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Do y'all remember back, this was July 2nd, 2023, I read to you about the firewalkers. I'm going to read it to you again. The Lord's revised it a little bit. All right. Who are the firewalkers? They are those that walk through the fire and have not been consumed. They are an elite bunch. The analogy that I can give you to this is, it is those who have served in the military and have survived. One group are always telling their war stories, but the other group sits in silence and never talks about those days. These are the ones that walked through the fire and survived. The reason they do not talk about it is because there are no words. Those who have not walked where they walk would not understand, even if they tried to tell them. No one would ever know the pain of the process unless they had been through this process themselves. This process is between you and me. There comes a knowing between firewalkers, and no words are necessary. You have followed me into the fire to complete your training. At times, you have wondered if you were going to make it. I have assured you that you will and that you will not fail, and I am with you every step of the way. I am in the lead through this valley of the shadow of death experience. Those that have made this journey before you are few indeed. You can read about some of them in the Faith Hall of Fame. All of them knew the trouble that you have seen. It is not the valley of death, but only the shadow of it. Once you pass through the time you are in, you will look back in your mind and know that I have been with you all the way through. And you will have an understanding as you move forward of why it had to be this way. We hear that all the time about the Q movement and all of that. It had to be this way. This time of chastening has been grievous, but it has been for your good. Now you'll be like that military veteran that sits quiet while others are telling their war stories, for there is no words to describe where you have been. Now you can understand why no one told you about this passage through the valley of the shadow of death. Trial by fire is molding you into the image of myself. I went into the fire, and now I'm seated at the Father's right hand and have the name that is above all names. Take courage today from all those firewalkers that went before you in the Faith Hall of Fame. For many would like to be like you, but they have refused to enter the flames. There were few then, and there are few now. I am looking for quality and not quantity. Now that you've walked through the fire and come out without the smell of smoke on you, you will give me all the glory, and I will be able to trust you with the awesome plan that I've had for you. I had to know that you would trust me and obey me when my plan for you starts, that you would not faint in your mind. All of this is about learning to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. I must have well-trained, seasoned warriors for the task ahead, those that will follow the Spirit, my plan. Trial by fire works out all the impurities, and the vessel comes out pure and meet for the Master's use. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 2:20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and of some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man there purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. The Lord has never meant for us to fight our own battles. Right here. For the battles belong to the Lord. Ephesians 6:10 talks about you put on the armor of God. It's kind of like David with Goliath. That rock did not kill that giant. But that angel and that force behind that rock was through God, and it did kill the giant. The Lord has never meant for you to fight in this battle. He wants to fight the battle for you. The battle belongs to the Lord. The stand here is mental. See, the mental part is keeping you from speaking and doing things in your flesh. It's getting your mind right and being still before the Lord and not doing anything until you get instructions. When you learn to do this and you discipline yourself to do this, you'll have a lot less failures, and you'll have a lot less these days where you're just wore out and you're just ready to give up. See, when you do it the right way, you will get results. When you hear from God, you will get the right result. All right. The stand is mental, not fainting in your mind. When you faint not, God can fight the battle for you. But if you can't, if you faint in your mind, it's a wash. All right, a few more. Psalms 24. Verse 8. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. I want him fighting my battles. How about you? Because he always wins. All right, Joshua. Chapter 1. I'm just going to read verse 8 there. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What does the meditation do? When you're meditating, that's whenever you get the answer you need. All right, Joshua 10:42. And all these kings in their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. How come? Joshua followed God's plan. Joshua 11. It came to pass, when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and the king of Shimron, and the king of Aksoph, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains of the plain south of Chinneroth, and in the valley, and in the borders of Dor, on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east, and on the west, and to the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivite, unto Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that was upon the seashore, and multitude with horses and chariots, very many. When all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver them upon them up, all slain before Israel. Thou shalt not hold, and thou shalt hold their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon, and unto Misrephoth Maim, and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward. And they smote them until they left them none remaining. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hoed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof with the sword. For Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe, and he burnt Hazor with fire. And all the cities of those kings and all the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only, that did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities, and the cattle, and the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves, but every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So Joshua took the whole land. The hills and the south country and all the land of Goshen and the valley and the plain and the mountain of Israel and the valley of the same. Even from the Mount Halak that goeth to Seir, even to Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon. And all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. And Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that they might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. At that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, from the mountains of the Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land. Now these are the giants here. In land of Israel, only in Gaza and Gath and in Ashdod there remained. And so Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested for more. He did what the Lord said. All right, go to 14, Joshua. 6 through 14 here. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. He was one of the two that said, we'll be well able, and the other said, no, we can't do it. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereupon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Wholly. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. No matter how old you are, God don't look at things like men do. As yet I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so it is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, said the Lord. As the Lord said, and Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. He had to go take the giants. He's 85. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. It ain't about age. If you go and read Deuteronomy 28, it's all about the blessing. It's all about God blessing. It's not about you trying to bless yourself. Well, we'll just look at it for a minute. We won't read the whole thing, but I want you to see that. The Lord says he will do this. Verse 2 says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Isn't that walking in the Spirit? Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, fruit of thy cattle, increase thy kind, flocks of thy sheep, blah, 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 all the way down. It sounds like to me, when he finds somebody that will actually listen to him and obey, he just heaps it on them. Psalms 91. The Lord is for us, but we have to do it his way. He can't just have you doing just whatever you want to do and him bless it. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work that way. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, under his wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. I won't be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 run in and shall not come near me. To me, to dwell in God is always staying in tune with his Spirit and doing, hearing what he's telling you to do and walking in his way. We don't need to be afraid of anything when we do that. He'll keep us out of trouble. He'll keep us provided for. All right, Matthew 6. One time the Lord had us give, I gave one of my cars away. And the person I gave it to, he said, you know what? That Matthew 6 really works. He had prayed this prayer right here. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Yeah. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner, it says, therefore pray this way, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done, in earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. It's the Lord's blessing us. It's the Lord fighting for us. We're not fending for ourselves. He did it in the Old Testament. He does it in the New Testament. We've been reading Galatians 5 for weeks and nearly embarrassed to read it again, so I won't. What's it about? Walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh. The works of the flesh are these. The works of the Spirit are these. So many today do not know how to walk in the Spirit. They don't know what you're even talking about. All right, this is 2 Corinthians 1:12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you, Lord. In other words, what he brought was what God gave him to bring. Wasn't just fleshly, worldly wisdom. Well, I'm done. Look at that. Aren't y'all glad?